Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Today, we're going to talk about digital health and fitness with the CEO of Basis Science, Jeff Holove. I met Jeff through the Fitness Tech Summit at CES, which we both have participated in for several years now. Jeff always shares great insights about the digital health and fitness industry as a whole, and so I invited him to talk further with me about the current challenges as well as the upcoming opportunities. Now, prior to joining Basis, Jeff spent years at consumer technology companies including Logitech and the wireless photo startup iFi, so he has a grounded perspective on all the hype that surrounds the digital health and fitness category these days. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Thanks, Janine. Thanks for having me.
So let's start off. Please tell my listeners what Basis is and how it's different from other personal health and fitness trackers.
Sure. So Basis, we see ourselves kind of at this intersection of two really big things that are not necessarily the same. On the one hand, wearables, and clearly at CES this year and throughout all of 2014, I'm sure we'll be hearing more and more about wearables. And on the other hand, digital health, or what some people call mobile health, which isn't always embodied in wearables. We sit in that intersection as a wearable. The ways that we're different are really manyfold, but the two big ones that we'll focus on is we are a multi-sensor device tracking not just your steps, but really what's going on inside your body, getting at real physiology, things like heart rate. And we use that to get intelligence that you just can't get any other way. So we use that to power a new technology called Body IQ, which can automatically spot when you're engaged in healthy activities like a walk or a run or a bike ride. And we just revealed our new advanced sleep analysis, which can spot not just when you're sleeping, but the stages of your sleep, like deep sleep or even REM cycles. And
wow.
We then combine all of that sensor data with a different kind of user experience, really thinking about what makes this experience valuable to people in their everyday lives. And we call that user experience healthy habits. And it's just exactly like what it sounds like. How do we introduce you to and then help you work on the small routines that add up over time for a healthy life?
Right. And so, yeah, I wanted to talk about healthy habits because, you know, when you initially launched at CES, I think back in 2012, you were kind of like the first cool watch-like personal monitoring device. And so there was a lot of, you know, interest in the form factor and the gadget itself. But then after that initial launch, Basis seemed to go in a different direction, really emphasizing these healthy habits. So can you tell me about that shift? You know, why did you do it? What was the shift? And then how did you go about making the shift?
It's a really good question because honestly, in the history of Basis, it was a very fundamental question we had to sit ourselves down and ask. And that question was, you know, sort of began as how do we be the best tracker in this category of fitness trackers with the best charts and graphs there are out there? And we realized that really that wasn't the question. The question was, how do we change people's lives for the better? And so, yes, at CES of 2012, we kind of previewed, we hadn't launched yet, but we previewed what we were thinking about this space. And it was capturing all of that powerful sensor data that we were just talking about and then rendering it, illustrating it in these really cool charts and graphs, which we still do. But I think our insight was that this category isn't really a tracker category, despite the fact that that's what we all call it. It's really a behavior change category. Mm. And so as we tested other products in this category and as we experienced our own kind of prototypes, if you like, we just realized that charts and graphs can be really interesting to some people for a little while, but they don't lead to long-term engagement. They don't really keep you engaged for a long period of time. And more importantly, they don't really tell you the answer to the big question, which is, okay, now what? I can track my steps every day. Now what am I supposed to do about it?
Right.
So we tried to figure out how to answer that question. And ultimately, we combined a little bit of gamification, right? How do you borrow the psychological dynamics of games that make that sense of progress, that give you that sense of motivation, and combine it with behavioral science so that we can help develop success patterns and help you pick up those new habits rather than focusing on defeating the bad ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can imagine from like an organizational capability and focus standpoint that that was a pretty significant shift, because you go from thinking about, you know, hardware and, you know, design of a thing to software and more design of an experience and, you know, how do you serve up data in a way that makes, that prompts behavioral change. So am I right that that was a pretty, you know, significant shift, and how did you manage that?
You are right in some ways, although we had always seen our product, capital P, as not just the device itself, but also the cloud service, the app, if you like, that goes with it. Really, the shift in thinking is, what is that cloud service, what is that app supposed to do for the user? And I think, like many people, we started from the place of, well, it needs to show all the data that comes from these sensors. And really, that's not what it needs to do. That can serve the purpose. That's a means to an end. But really what it needs to do is help people understand how they're behaving in the context of their real life and how can we make them aware of ways that they can improve, but present those ways to improve in a really grounded, real-life way. You know, what are the small things that fit even into a busy schedule that can actually make a difference long-term?
Right. Okay, so I want to ask you about a topic that I've been thinking about and talking about and writing about for quite a while now, and that is the need for digital health and fitness to cross the chasm from the early adopters into the mainstream consumer market. So I'm curious to get your perspective on, you know, what are the keys, what are the things that companies like yours need to do in order to effectively cross that chasm? You know, how do you make wearables and your kind of product and solution appealing to the mainstream consumer?
I think you just differentiated two really important points there, which is, how do we make digital health in general cross the chasm, and what about wearables specifically as a way to do that? And I think, you know, if we back way up, if we just look at intent, consumer intent, I think we can argue that digital fitness has crossed the chasm. I mean, I think, you know, there are millions of these fitness trackers are being sold now every week, or every year. There are millions of apps being downloaded every week. So I think people, very mainstream folks, you know, our cousins and our brothers and sisters are actively engaged. They do want to improve. The question is then, after trying all of these things, you know, it's kind of like joining the gym. Everyone joins in January, and by March, they're not going anymore. So I think the things that make it stick, the things that give it credibility, the things that give it everyday relevance is really what we need to work on to make this broad intent really actionable for the millions of people who are trying these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from an intent standpoint, we're there with digital fitness. But in wearables, I think a couple of points are important. First, consumers are not just sitting around waiting for the day when they get to wear technology.
That's such an important point.
And I think it's important for those of us who are engaged in that to remember that. I think we need to figure out how to make it essential. How do we do something with wearables that can only be done because it's wearable and not pocketable? So our answer at Basis, obviously, is these sensors that we put on your body, and the value that we can get out of having sensors tracking things like perspiration and heart rate all the time, even when you're not aware of it. That's our answer to what makes it essential. There could be others, but I think we need to focus on that. And if we do that, then we're left with the second problem, which is we need to make these devices something that you want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can talk about that in a moment, but I will say one last thing about wearables, and that is that there is something very powerful about embodying these digital health capabilities in something that you wear versus just an app.
Mm-hmm.
The behavior, the wearing of it itself brings all of this, whatever it's tracking, much more forward in your consciousness, much more forward in your everyday life. You know, it's a little bit like the red string on your finger, perhaps, or maybe it's the fact that you know that you're a little bit of Hawthorne effect, but in any case, it makes a fundamental difference to embody this capability into a wearable in terms of how engaged the user's going to remain. And so I think that is something really important to build on.
Mm-hmm. So on the kind of debate about should wearable technology be designed to be visible kind of as a fashion statement and really emphasizing design, or should it be something that's kind of hidden, discreet, almost invisible, it sounds like you would advocate more for something that is visible so that the user themselves actually see the product.
Yeah, I think that's right. Now, you know, the true answer here, to be practical, is that it depends. I mean, clearly there are wearables or other devices that maybe help you treat a medical condition or help you deal with an issue in your life that you want to keep private. And clearly we should be designing those things so that they are discreet. But when it comes to living a more aspirational life, when it comes to having the tool to get more out of life, we do think that that can be a powerful statement about yourself. We think that it can be a powerful, positive symbol. You know, it's a little bit like driving a Prius was initially, right? There were other cars out there like a Honda Civic that got roughly the same gas mileage in a conventional manner, but the Prius was so iconic and said something about the driver that that driver wanted to say about themselves. So I think there is value in it being conspicuous. I think it can be a positive icon, a positive symbol, and I think we should be building both the brand and the product and the user experience around that idea.
Okay, so, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Nope.
Oh, okay, I thought maybe I was interrupting you. Okay, so last question. Real quick, what does the future hold for the wearable category? Where do you think growth and innovation is going to come from?
Well, you know, as CES showed all of us, it's already a pretty diverse market, right? We have everything from Basis to Google Glass, which is clearly a wearable but a very different type, medical devices, as we were just talking about, smart clothing is coming. So I guess maybe here's what I'd say to ground us first. The segment in wearables today with real traction, and by that I mean, you know, consumers actually buying them and actually using them, is health and fitness. And analysts predict that that's going to be the case by a wide margin for quite a while. And I would argue that's because it solves a real-world use case, as we call it. It solves a real-world problem that people can really relate to. So while there's much that is possible in wearable technology today and even more that is coming, I would invite us all to remain focused on just that, real life. But with that said, this is only just the beginning of this wearables trend. I really believe that. We're going to see more sensors tracking new kinds of things. Maybe even more interestingly, we're going to see the combination of other data with wearable sensing. Data that you can get from other sources like your phone, perhaps geolocation data, maybe weather information, or whatever other data can be added to the personal sensing to create more what I'll call context. And that's really the point. The point is to create more and more personal context, more understanding, more insight that the user can use to inform their life decisions. That's what's critical to sustaining change and improvement. And of course, that's what we're doing this for to begin with.
Right, right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for speaking with me today and shedding some light on this area that is growing rapidly and really has the potential to change our lives. So I want to ask you, how can folks learn more about Basis and connect with Basis?
Well, of course, the easy thing is to visit our website, which is mybasis.com, where you can take a tour there. You can learn all about the sensors. You can get more understanding of what these healthy habits are and how you can act on them. Or if you like, as of this week, you can drive down to your local Best Buy and check us out there.
Woohoo! Congratulations. How exciting.
Yeah, thanks.
Great. Well, thanks again, Jeff, and best wishes.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.